Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
God is amazing. Oh, come on. This is great. Hallelujah. We have quite a bit of scripture to read today, but I don't apologize for that because oftentimes it's in the reading we discover some things that God wants to talk to us about. We're going to go into Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 45. And we're going to talk about some of the things that we need to do that God has aligned for us, especially as it goes into Thanksgiving season. But here we go. I'll read the first verse and you read the responding verses. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you.
Bless those who mercy and pray for those who slightly use you.
To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise.
But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them.
And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do to the same. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil.
Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful.
Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven.
Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you.
And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they both fall into the ditch? And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not perceive the plank in your own eye?
Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that's in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank in your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye.
For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit.
For every tree is known by its own fruit. For man does not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from the bramble.
Verse 45 together. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, that preaches all by itself. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we're going to talk about the things that we talk about, the type of language that we use. And Lord, our subject has been for this last few weeks withholding nothing. But Lord, today you're going to teach us about the things that we say, the phrases that we put forth, and how we can sow love and kindness and will forsake evil and all the abandoned issues that happen to people. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just permeate the culture of this whole room. And Lord, when we leave this place, we'll be different than when we walk through these doors. Lord, your word has the power to change us, and we submit to the Holy Spirit to do that very same thing today. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your power, for your Holy Spirit that's going to teach us and redeem us this day. We pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. I realize this is Thanksgiving time, and how many of you are thankful for what God has done in your life? Come on. God's a good God. It's interesting, as we're singing the song, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. Boy, I tell you, that song, every time I hear it, it just does something. Because, you know, because he's given, God gave us Jesus. You ought to be thankful. The greatest gift. Well, the power of words that we speak in our everyday conversation can make an impact in many cases irreversible, and can change the course of someone's destiny. The ability to impart blessing to people is not retained within the walls of the church, but can be transferred many times during the day at the will of those who are committed to be an agent guided by the Holy Spirit. And even though people can fall under the category of an enemy, we are still called to love them. That's what it's all about. Here's the three things we'll begin to talk about today. I have no intention to try to finish all this today, so you can relax on that, but we'll at least get partially through that. First question is this: have you found yourself in the position of having spoken something in haste or anger that you truly wish you had never said? Anybody who hasn't done that, raise your hand. Thank you very much. I got the right crowd. Number two, have you ever realized the power of blessing those who have purposefully come against you to bring them under the power and influence of Jesus in your life? In other words, blessing people that intentionally have done you evil, have done bad things to you, have given you sign language that's inappropriate, have given you a destination you never want to go to, and you're able to bless them. Well, this is going to be a great crowd today. Hallelujah. Number three, are you willing to allow yourself to be used by God to send a note that could bring freedom to someone who needs to hear a word of encouragement from you? I hope that when you leave here today, that God's going to give you something to send, or maybe it may be a card, I don't know what it could be. But somehow God's going to change your heart towards somebody that you know has meant evil for you, and you're going to do good for them in return. Well, we got to deal with our language first. The words you speak have power, and in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, let's look at that, see what it says. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. I could preach this one all day long. It's when you have to add on to yes or you add on to no, honey, that's when the problem starts. We'll get into that in just a moment. But here's the deal. What comes out of your mouth and how you behave according to it is an honest display of your true character. And it's kind of displayed like this. It is a true representation of what's in your heart. You know, some people try to rewind things. Well, I just really didn't mean that. Then why'd you say it? I mean, you just need to say, well, it kind of slipped out. How did it slip in? This is going to be a truth session. Oh, jeez. A good person produces good things from the treasury of his heart. And the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Those things don't creep in there by themselves. Some of them have been festering for years. And finally, at a moment where you lost self-control or whatever it was, or the ability to keep them down, it just came out. Well, I want to let you know there's hope for this, because Jesus has done some amazing things. He says, an evil person produces evil from the treasury of an evil heart. And I know that many of us have been transformed by the blood and the power of Jesus. It's only because of Jesus that we are who we are today, that you're here today. Only by his grace and mercy. Well, consider this. We must learn to use our words wisely in the context of what the Holy Spirit will release through us, which simply means a few things like this. What comes out of our mouth is the overflow of what we have allowed to develop in our heart. Let me give you another word, fester. Now, fester can be a bad thing. Some of you will be having lunch later on, so I'm only talking about things that fester. But I don't need to take you there. But it reaches a certain point where it no longer festers. It kind of comes out. No further. We're done there. But in the process of festering, there's usually pain involved. Or people identify and says, oh, what happened? Did you have, and people kind of notice it, but it's nothing like the particular idea. Then when it finally just, there's kind of an explosion as far as it's concerned. But what we can communicate through spoken and written word displays the health of our soul. And that means it is vital that we use words that will build and unite people. You have as much power to build as you have to tear down. And this one word he inserts in this particular passage we just read is, we have the power to bless. And he starts using the people that we should bless. Bless those who curse you. Oh, honey. He didn't say, curse those who, God has some work to do in all of us in order to make this true. Well, words that divide and destroy are the means by which the devil will use us to accomplish his work against the kingdom of God. I would never want to be assigned as an agent of the devil. But unfortunately, our culture will predispose us to the idea that oftentimes we'll get ambushed and hijacked by the culture of this world. We'll find ourselves as spreading of a horrible virus that tears down the body of Christ. That means to produce a blessing over someone who has cursed you is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. There's a good amen spot. How do you bless people who don't like you? Who hate you? And then Jesus is putting this out. He lays this thing out here like, bless those who curse you, do good to those who spitefully use you, da-da-da-dee-da-da. Really? The words that come out of our mouth can overcome the evil intent of the enemy. The Bible says this, a soft answer turns away wrath. When people start amping it up, you need to bring it down. When they start, I remember this type of thing. You know, the best way to stop people is just totally starts talking real low where they have to stop and say, what'd you say? Could you run that past me again? Then take it down a little bit lower. Excuse me, I didn't hear that. And all of a sudden, it's gone de-escalated down to a place where you can really handle it. I'm going to give you a little lesson on how to improve your communication skills. But some of us, we won't ask them, well, if you think that's that bad, well, let me tell you what I think. No, I don't need to hear what you think. My kids and my wife will tell you that my flaw in life, one of the flaws, I have several others, at least three. When I get a little rattled, the word that comes out of my mouth is, let me tell you something. Isn't that right, baby? That's the one. Lord, have mercy. Now you know how to pray for me. What we communicate through spoken word displays the health of who we are. But to pronounce a blessing over someone, when we choose to bless someone who has intent to hurt us, we disarm the enemy's plan to separate us from the power of God's love to overcome evil. Overcome evil with good. But we have to get to our place to be healthy enough to realize that every hurt and evil thing that comes along comes from the devil. A lot of people that you've assigned as being your enemy are not your enemy. It's the enemy within of them. That's been, enemy within of them. And then for those who are really psychotic, it's the enemy with enemy. Yes. When we employ the power of love from the cross to daily crucifixion, we dismantle the enemy's plan to divide and destroy. This is the reason why I believe that Paul was so right about this. You know, he says, I die daily. Because the things you thought that you killed yesterday, they resurrect. That victory you had, you need victory every day. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. It's every day. And God wants to use it miraculously in our life. Well, Jesus has empowered us to give to everyone who asks of us what they truly need. You know, when it says to give it to every man who asks you, I'm thinking, no. You know, I don't like people hijacking my stuff. I'll let you know what I want you to have. And you, the rest of you get it on your own, right? That's how saved I am. But then when the scripture starts talking to us, it really causes us to reassess some things. And you know the one thing I've discovered? I don't own anything. I may have it. But as soon as I'm dead, somebody else is going to drive my car. Live in my house. So what do you own? The Bible says we have an opportunity to display to the world in such an unfathomable way the love of Jesus in every situation that we face. And I don't even begin to tell you that I know perfectly how to do it, but you know something? I'm on a journey and I want Jesus to possess every part of me so I can do it right. And you can help me by joining me on this journey, because here's the things we're going to learn about this. It's love is the perfect, or is the total fulfillment of the law of Christ. Now, here's the problem that we do face in an entitlement culture, is that some people, it's not that they love people too much, but they're afraid to confront issues in people, so they just kind of let things go. They enable folks. Loving is not enabling. When you give people a free pass to continue destroying their life, that's not loving them. That's called cowardice, of not being able to call things out that really need to be called out. But it's how you call them out. You have to tell them, you know something, I love you too much to allow this to happen or to continue to facilitate this going on in your life. That's the reason why I do it. It's not because I don't want to give you any money, but this is destroying you, and I cannot be an agent of destruction of your life. That's what love looks like. But see, we get it confused with the culture that says, well, just give them a little more entitlement, this type of thing. They'll get it after a while. No, they won't. No, honey, they won't. So, love, the true love is a response to things that we know that we're neither expected or deserved. It's the true test of our response to things that are neither expected or deserved. Well, the other part of that says, we embrace the character of Christ when we choose to show love to those who do not expect it or deserve it. I've seen this happen several times this year. Of people that just, they call it random acts of kindness. And I want to suggest that you probably do that, and I plan on doing more of it, is that when you randomly, the Holy Spirit will just direct you, he says, you know, this person is kind of fumbling through their purse, and they don't have enough money to finish this particular purchase, that you just say, oh, that's okay, I'll take care of that. Or you just kind of pay it forward type thing. We should have instigated that a long time ago. Because some of y'all are stingy. Did that hurt? I don't hit him too hard. She got. You got to get over your stinginess and let God really use you. That's the way that love is fulfilled in so many different ways. Well, we embrace the character of Christ when we choose to show love to those, obviously, that are in need and have no other resource. There's nobody else. I know some of you are annoyed and by the vagrancy and people that hang out and people on street corners are soliciting money and, you know, homeless camps and this type of thing. Oh, this is ridiculous. This, oh, I'm going to do something about it. Let me just mumble and carry on, this type of thing. The least you can do is pray for them. And then take it up a notch as the Holy Spirit leads. But don't ever walk by in disgust. I want to tell you, stop it. Because that's some mama's baby. And you don't know what they've been through or what they're going through. Compassion is always in fashion. Now, where'd that come from? I don't know, because it ain't in my notes, okay? But I know you won't forget it. Oh, praise God. Well, let's go to another scripture. We must love one another like Jesus has loved us. John 15, 12. John 15, 12. Do, 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 do. It's coming, I think. Got John 15, 12? No, they didn't give it to you? I can find it. Oh, there it is. Okay. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Here's the deal. As I have loved you. Now, question. How has Jesus loved you? He loved you enough to give you what? His life. So how do you break the scripture down where you just don't have to do anything? Can I take the first part for you? This is my commandment. It does not say, this is my suggestion. Can we get to the basics? What is the commandment that says, do as I tell you to do? Do not get confused. That you love one another as I have loved you. He's already shown us the evidence of his love for us. Wow, that just digs in deep. Well, here's some other thoughts that goes along with it. The words that Jesus spoke go directly to the heart of the issue of love. We must release love to others in the same manner that Jesus has loved us. Which simply means this, our love must not be patronizing, but long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Well, I guess we should do something for them. After all, they are of the human experience. Oh, honey, it ain't gonna get no better, so you might as well hang on. Unfortunately, Christians can be patronizers. And around Christmas time, y'all feel guilty. Yeah, you do. Let's have a hat drive. Get hats for the homeless. Oh, it's going to get quiet. But you know, that's not the only time they need something. Or some foreign country. I'm trying to prime the pump. I'm not trying to give you guilt trip you. I'm trying to say that the Holy Spirit is 365 days a year, not just during Christmas season or Thanksgiving season. And God wants us to be a 365 day a year Christian that will constantly be plugged into the Holy Spirit, that will activate us to do works of kindness all the time. So I don't have enough money. You'll never have enough money. Because remember, we already talked about this. You're stingy. I'm going to wear that down until somebody gets saved, okay? The fact that God has loved us beyond all limits should compel us to do the same for the lost and dying world. I want to move on to this next thought. We must be willing to have the quality of our speech examined by the Holy Spirit. That's what I was going to talk about today. And here's a couple of things I'll throw into the mix. Question. Is our speech frivolous, negative, condemning, fearful, or self-absorbing? He said, why'd you pick out those? Because those are the things we struggle with. If I just took one out of there that I'm sure all of us struggle with, negative. We're showing people the downside of everything. We're negative on the government. We're negative on this. We're negative on taxes. We're negative on the driving problem here in Portland and the rent and resources type of thing. You know what? If God is control, why don't you just put it to God and do what you're called to do? Because you're not helping being negative. Unless you can be an agent of change, then you should be prayerful and saying, well, God, what is my responsibility under you to do something positive? The very least you can do, almost sounds condescending, is pray. Prayer changes conditions. Prayer moves the hearts of stone-hearted men. Prayer can move and change nations. It's time for us to really enact ourselves, to go further in that. Or how about this? Can we invite the Spirit to make our speech uplifting? Here's some things. Uplifting, faithful, positive, full of grace, courageous, and edifying. I gave you a list of what not. I gave you a list of what to. That should be helpful. Well, here we go. The part that we'll deal with for today. Loving our enemies is more than finding words that will cause them to believe that we are for them. When you are, at best, tolerating them. Wow. I got to break that down a little bit. Do you know what it's like? Probably do, because I know I've experienced that in life. When you know you're being tolerated. And there's really not much you can do about it. And you have to sit under that oppressive type spirit because you really need what is being, you know, offered, but it doesn't feel good once you get it. That's not love. I want to eradicate that, and I want to erase it from your way of thinking and your way of processing people. For God so tolerated the world. Are you getting my point? That he gave his only begotten son. Gives a lot of toleration. I might as well do something because they are one pitiful bunch of folks. Help us, Jesus. Let me just start off by saying what Jesus meant in this whole idea of yes being yes and no being no. Yes and no are complete sentences. Did you know that? Got a subject, adjective, you know, verb, all that kind of thing. It's all there. And what is Jesus trying to tell us with that? I think this, if we can get this one little concept today, I believe we'll leave here just totally built up and strengthened to be who Jesus wants us to be. In other words, when we agree and tell someone yes, we must follow through with everything that will complete the contract of agreement. I know that's pretty loftily said. Let me say it one more time. When we agree with someone and tell them yes, we must follow through with everything that will complete the contract of agreement. Now, here's the thing. Many of us have said yes to God, right? We entered into a contract with Him. But sometimes our yes means no or maybe. Or can I think about that? Can I get back to you on that? It's not how it works. Even so, on the counter side of the coin, it goes like this. When we say no, we must resolve that from the depth of who we are, that we will not waver no matter what it may cost us. Yes belongs to God, no belongs to the devil. In this sense. Because when we say yes to God, we should never let that yes be undermined by something that God is saying for us. And all of a sudden, oh no, I really can't do that. My face is, I can't allow. No, 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 no. Our yes to God should be on everything He's requiring of us to do. And He'll bring along the faith to make it true. We'll talk about struggling in a few minutes because I think it's going to be something that will be helpful. Our expectations should go from people, through the cross of sacrifice. Once we are on the cross, we have accepted this to be the sacrifice that it will take in order to produce life and freedom for others. We talked about this last week about you being on the cross and seeing things from a cross perspective. When you're on the cross, you don't have any rights. Really. People are looking at you and they have their opinions about who you are. But it's a cross of sacrifice, but you know it has purpose behind it. And when we die to ourselves, we have no expectation of anyone doing anything that will bring us comfort or relief. Ooh. Ah. You're on the cross. Jesus is on the cross. You know, He said, I'm thirsty. What did He get in return? Anybody remember that? Sour wine. Even when you admit you need something, you may be served something that's contradictory to what you really truly need. Let me just dig a little bit further. When we hope for nothing, any reward we receive will be great and much appreciated. It's not lowering our expectations. It's when we're with Jesus, we don't have an expectation other than to do the will of the Father. All right, here's the garden experience. Some of you probably need that refresh. You say, well, it's Christmas time. No, it's always time to go to the garden. In Jesus' most crucial moment, He says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to put you in this superhuman category where you don't have real feelings of the fact that this is painful. I didn't realize it would cost as much. I wouldn't realize how much anguish is involved with this because you're going to cry real tears and feel real pain. I need to tell you that. But here's the point, and it's one word. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. As we move over, as I'm getting to this particular point, the words do not disappear just because we've forgotten them. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. This will help us all. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Oh boy, there's another one. The moment we speak, you speak your words, become powerful in a force of good or evil. What am I saying? Corrupt communication, I need to tell you this, is not always intentional. Sometimes we overspeak, sometimes we just kind of in haste or whatever it happens to be, but still we're responsible for what comes out of our mouth. However, edification is a necessary commodity in communication. And edification is something that you do on purpose. Can you give me that one? You seek to find words that will build people up. Now, I'm not talking about flattery. Lovely dress. Oh, love it. Lipstick is perfect. Oh, the shoes. Oh, honey, I would love to have. Are you kidding me? You shallow Sally, you? Come on. And that's a, go ahead and compliment folks on their stuff, but if that's as far as you can go, you need to shut up. I mean, hold, close your lips. I mean, I'm sorry. Got a little overboard. It's more than saying something nice. It's rather saying something relevant. And that's what edification does. And here's how the Holy Spirit, I believe, works. He works with me. As he will help me to see beyond what's going on at this particular point and to find that particular place that will cause that person to have hope where they didn't have hope before. Someone just recently shared with me some information. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, you need to tell them to do this particular thing and encourage them that this is the right thing to do. Build them up and let them know that I know that God would be pleased if you did this. That's edifying people. Because sometimes people don't know what to do, and God will use you as an agent of change or an agent of blessing when you speak words that will build people up. You give them hope and saying, you know what? I believe you can do it. I believe Jesus in you is strong. And as you are presenting Jesus, that glory, well, his glory will be revealed through your life and in this situation. That's how you edify folks. Well, Proverbs 18:21, it's kind of a little warning. We must learn how to edify, devoid of flattery. Here's what Proverbs says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. What's that mean? Death and life. Either you are sowing life or you're promoting death. Wow. Some of you are saying, yea, verily, I need to shut up and not say nothing. No, that's not the answer. You say, I'm not going to say anything. Go ahead, plant. When God has made you an agent to be used by the Holy Spirit to do that, that's the wrong answer. We need to pray that God, that let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That means my prayer is that everything I say, that I say will speak life and will be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, and anything acceptable in the sight of the Lord that builds his kingdom and builds up people, that's what God wants you to say. And I'm deputizing you today to change the way you talk to represent God all the time. Wow. Here's my last few things. We must desire to instruct and build up spiritually. That's your intention. But before you can do that, some of you have a little repair work to be done. You know what I told you the other day? I don't know what mind I was in, but it wasn't the right one. I need to fix that. Some of you have put curses over people's life with your negative behavior. And you need to take ownership. He says, you know what I told you? That was so wrong. And I need to ask your forgiveness. I never should have said that. Wow. But do you know what it takes to do that? Humility. You know why the devil got to be the devil? How he got to be the devil? Humility wasn't a part of his profile. He won't be top dog, have his own little kingdom, have a little following. That's what. No. To edify in simplicity is to desire to improve and make something better. Furthermore, words imparted through the holy power of the Holy Spirit will always build up and will never tear down. Want to know what the test is? Did they leave your presence built up or tore down? Let me give you another little hint. Worshiping, you can make your way up here, and that'll slow me down because I'm going to finish this next week. Grace will always be the divine motivation for the words we speak to the lives of people. It simply goes like this. We must use our words wisely to draw people into a relationship with the Lord. That means that God called all creation into being with his words. Jesus said, God said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. The power to create with words is just pretty amazing thing. And God has put the same spirit in his children to either create or destroy by the words we speak. I believe it's so important that today we resolve within ourselves that we're going to allow God to change the way we talk, the way we respond to folks. Every head bowed, every eye closed, everybody. Holy Spirit, I have introduced some things today, and I'm putting a pause or a comma because we need to just stop for a moment and to allow you to do something that only you can do. Lord, you want to teach us how to be agents of blessing and no longer allowing the negative, destructive words that we've spoken to proceed out of our mouths. God, there are people under the sound of my voice today that have been cut to shreds, whose lives are just torn in pieces because of things that have been said. And Lord, I hate to say it, but by some people who claim to know you. And Lord, you're the only one who can bring healing. And Lord, still at the same time, there are people here today that are hearing this message for the first time, that they can be an agent of change by turning their life over to you, that all the hurt and the pain and the suffering that they've experienced, that you went to the cross for them and you have made yourself available, that if they would confess their sins before you today, they could have new life. Lord, there are people that are under the sound of my voice that they've allowed habits, they've allowed things in their life, they've allowed people in their life that they know that are destructive. And somehow today, the appeal of having Jesus and being the center of their life, they would say, I want him. I want his grace. I want his mercy. I want freedom from the things that have kept me in bondage. I want new life. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that the pride factor would be put aside, that even the hurt that may have been come through various ways would be put on the shelf, and we would just come before you just as that one person with nobody else in the room who would say, I need Jesus. Or I need to repent of those things in my heart that would keep me from being that agent of change in the lives of others. Do it, Lord. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, there's two things that are happening right now. The Holy Spirit has convicted you of something that you need to take care of with Jesus today. And I'm going to put you in the same assignment with people who are meeting Jesus at the same time. And if your pride keeps you from responding to this altar call, your pride's got too much of you. Because I'm only going to ask for one response today, and that'll be for the people that said that God talked to me today. And I either need to come to Jesus for the first time or come back to Jesus. Or as a believer today, there are some things in my heart that are out of alignment with the Lord, and I need to take care of it today. And as I'm speaking those words have pierced your heart, has pierced your spirit. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. If that's you, lift your hand right now. Lift it up high where I can see it right now in the name of Jesus. All over this building, because Jesus is doing something in the Holy Spirit right now. Leave them up there just for a moment. There's other people need to join. In the name of Jesus, I cast the devil out who's trying to hold people hostage today. You can put your hands down. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And those of you that lift your hands, don't wait on anybody else to come but you. You come to this altar today, and I believe that God is going to do some amazing, 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 amazing things, because his grace and his power and his spirit is able to transcend over everything you've experienced. Everyone stand to your feet right now. Those of you who lift your hands, make your way to this altar right now in Jesus' name. Come right now in Jesus' name. Come.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.